So let's start. I felt that of all this farim that would all the mechabrim that we could learn that would give us at least a feeling of different types of vinyanim, the Ramchal would probably be the best. The Ramchal, on the one hand, is very organized in terms of hashkafa and so on. It's very structured in many of his farim, and also he's yonik a lot, or in some places an extraordinary amount, from more pnimius in yonim. And getting a sense of it is really, it's a good place to try to get something of everything. The particular sefer I chose, the Ramchal had a fascinating habit. He was extremely structured and also thought on many layers. So a lot of his sefarim have they're written in different formats, long, short, more pneumistic, more rationalist, very, very fascinating. And this is one of the sefarim that Derech Hashem is longer, and he has mamorim, and one of them is called Maima Chachma, where he touches on a lot of things, betamtzis. Besides that, I've sent a bunch of sheets. There's a second batch of sheets, which is an interesting liquid that somebody made from his. The Ramchal has a very, very big Kabbalah sefer, a very choshev Kabbalah sefer. It's called Adi Mamorim. It's a pirush on the Idru Rabba, which is one of the core teachings, I say, in the Zohar. One of the core teachings. He wrote a very, very big beer, which a lot of it's Kabbalah, it's real Kabbalah. This yid over here, his name was Binyamin Efrati. He just was nifta recently. He was a Talmud of Rav Dessler, a friend of Rav Chaim Friedlander, and he worked a lot on Ramchal's things. And he put together a liquid behind the sefer. So the sefarim where I copied it from is Feldheim. It's in the sefer Mamorim. He has both the Maimer, the Mamorim, and in the back is a liquid from Idur Rabba, which I think is very helpful when we refer back to it. We're able to see things with a little bit more depth in certain yon. So we're going to be looking first at, like, Daf Tesvav, where it says, which is the beginning of Maimar Chachma, and then Maimar Chachma is what we saw last time, Maimar Ikrim, and then we'll reference back to what he says over here in the Adibamur. Okay, Beboiri is Barach. So this is Maimar Ikrim is an outline of Ikrim. That's what it is. The first thing you need to know is Sheyesh Motsui Echod. There is something that exists. Adoin Kolanim Tzois, whose mass of everything exists. Shehim Tzion Beisherotza, that he brought him into existence when he wanted. Umekaimim calls man Sheyirza, and he keeps them alive as long as he wishes. Vesholet Bem Shlita Gemura, and he's totally rules over them. Who are Keles Barshma? So the Ramchal says here a whole mouthful about Akadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that dissimilar from the Rambam, but the words are obviously extremely meduyik, the terms and the order and the structure. And let's go a little more slowly. Let's talk about each piece. First, Mashetzor Sheteda Betchilas Hakol. He says, first thing you have to know is the following. I like the way he says Betchilas Hakol. I mean, obviously, it's his first statement. I mean, when a person is talking, he'll say, well, first, let's tell me what this now. He's putting down something. He's saying, you need to recognize Tchilas Hakol. And I think what he's making, I think there's a very important point he's making. He's not making a statement, let's start with this point, sort of as a rhetorical introductory phrase. What he's saying is, there is no, the first point of reference is the Tchila of Koil. In other words, everything that exists, its beginning. In other words, we only can use a point of reference to the world here. Nothing beyond this world is in any way meaningful to us. The first point we can identify is the Tchila of Koil. In other words, there's a universe here that includes anything, everything, everybody. So this is our frame of reference. It's the first point we can actually say something about. So what you need to know b'tchilas hakol hu sheyesh motzi echad, that there is one motzi. It's interesting. The Rambam doesn't start like that. The Rambam starts with something else, and he says, and then that he's echad, he actually says in a second phrase, in the halacha, on the third halacha. The Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, which is where he deals with this definition, he doesn't put echad down as the first, he puts echad down as the next one. This being that we're talking about is echad. It's interesting on the switch over here. My feeling is that the Ramchal puts a tremendous focus that the only avoda shayach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his achdus. I don't remember if we spoke about it or not, but that's a very, very, very big theme of his, and it makes a lot of sense. What we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shema Yisrael is that he's echad. So it makes sense that the only thing that we can talk about is echad. So that's the very first point, is that the whole Bria comes to a Nakuda. When I'm asking myself, where's everything from? What does everything stand on? So Hemida Nal Achas is, there's one point that everything, a point of existence that everything stands on. So when I'm Chayk and Derish, what was? One point. The Rambam says that from the one you have many other derivations. So he says, "This motzi echad adoin kol hanim tzois shehim tziyom be'esheratza," and he actually puts adoin first. Now let's compare the two titles. He says adoin kol hanim tzois, and then he says shoylet bem shlita gemura. What are the two things? Adoin kol hanim tzois, and then shoylet bem shlita gemura. So adoin kol hanim tzois means, like the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu is called the adoin hanavim, an adoin is not someone who is the powerful person. Moshe Rabbeinu's adoin hanavim doesn't mean he controls the nevi'im. It means that the nevi'im all are yoinik, their metzias from him. Adoin kol hanim tzois shemtzi meisirotza is umekayim kol zman sheyirtza. This is the fundamental understanding of the distinction between the Bora Olam and us. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu is adoin kol hanevi'im. What does it mean Moshe Rabbeinu is adoin kol hanevi'im? It means that it's not possible for a Navi to override Moshe, because a Navi's Nevuah only comes mikoyach Moshe. Like the Gemara says in Rebbe Latana Reb Chiya Menayim, there's no such thing as a Brisa of Reb Chiya that didn't come through Rebbe. Reb Chiya is adding to Rebbein HaKadosh. He's bringing out more Rebbein HaKadosh, but he can't add something Rebbein HaKadosh didn't have. So Metzias in the world goes vis-a-vis the Rebbein HaShalom. He's that doing kol hanim tzoim is like Moshe Rabbeinu is like doing kol nevi'im. There is nothing in the world that has metzias. It's all yoinik and metzias and kadosh baruch hu. Shem tziyim ba'eish sherotza v'kayim kol zman sheyirtza. I want to focus on this point and talk a bit more. If we're to ask ourselves, what's our core definition of a kadosh baruch hu? So, the heiliger b'shefer. Bashefer is one occupation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's a Borei Olamim. but that's ich say the Baram Dike, he's Rachman, all those things are titles. If we're to ask ourselves, what do I call Ribbono Shel Olam? So obviously I'm going to fish around for a title. Akadosh Baruch Hu is smart, we're also smart. We're a tiny bit smart. Akadosh Baruch Hu is very, very, very much smart. That's not getting me anywhere. What's true is the only thing that really exists in the Bria is Akadosh Baruch Hu. Our existence is a toilada. Akadosh Baruch Hu gave us existence, but we don't have any inherent existence, and therefore Havaya is the name of Akadosh Baruch Hu. Havaya means the existence with a capital E. Because Akadosh Baruch Hu endowed us with existence, also exist. But that's a toitzur, and that's the Rambam says in the Rambam. This is the first definition. The Rambam says, lu yitzur, it could be imagined Akadosh Baruch Hu not existing, then we couldn't exist. Then we wouldn't exist. We do not exist. And lu yitzur, we would not exist. We would not exist. HaKadosh Baruch would not be affected one whit by it. And it's very, very important. I want to explain a common terrible, I would call it mistake, except it's worse than a mistake because it's willful. But it's become very popular amongst people who consider themselves Shomer Mitzvahs to give Musa to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. Plenty of rabbis will get up on the bima on Shabbos morning, after a nice breakfast before, and give the Eibush a little musa. He shouldn't have done this. He should have done this. I think he did wrong. I think he did this. The problem is not the kfira is not. I mean, yes, what he's saying, but the kfira is it means that he understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very megushamdik way. Let's explain it. Let's say I'm having a debate with Einstein. So 99 out of 100 arguments he'll win, but I'll win 1 out of 100. There's nothing that makes it impossible for me to have to win against it. As long as it passes me win twice. What are the chances? Not great, but the word impossible doesn't exist. If I'm fighting somebody who's a super duper strong man, who will win? Chances are he will win. 100 times, 1,000 times. It is possible that I will win once in who knows when. He had a bad day, I had a good day, whatever it is. My Wheaties that morning, whatever it was, I'm able to do it. It's not a kasha, it's a question of percentage, a question of histavrus, how histavrus it. Let's say, when I was young, there used to be we didn't have a TV at home, but I had a neighbor who had a TV and was Baal Chesed, so we'd go occasionally and watch TV there. They had a show, it was called Ed Sullivan, it was a variety show, one of the first variety shows, and they had one of his favorites was a ventriloquist, a Yiddish guy, and he had a puppet named Velvy. And Velvo used to argue with the ventriloquist, and he was much sharper than the ventriloquist, and would tell him really good, he would delang him, it was gewaldig. So, how do I look at it? So somebody, a child says, oh, the Velvy is very, very smart, and the ventriloquist is stupid. There is no Velvy. Velvy is whatever the ventriloquist feeds him, whatever line he gives him. The ventriloquist has as much chachma as Velvy plus. There is no Velvy. Velvy is whatever the guy is projecting at him. The same thing is true with a computer. No computer can ever outsmart a person. He can outrun a person. So a chess game, I can figure out 5 moves ahead. A computer, depending on how much memory it has, can figure out 1,000 moves ahead. But to say that there was a chop, that the computer had a chap that I didn't have, the etzem, is an impossibility, because the computer's algorithm is mine. So I have the algorithm the computer has, plus me more. the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that our Metzias is only a Hamshacha from His Metzias. So there is no such thing of Bichlal, of having anything that we have in way that's not Be'etzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything that we have, yes? Now, there's first of all the Bichlal Masayim Monadik of whatever it is that we have. It's true about Chiyus. It's true. It's like the pasuk says, "Hayyotze ayin halo yabit." You can't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mabit, because where did the eye come from? If it comes from Habata. So Al Kaponim, the first thing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzias is Emes Metzias, and our Metzias is a granted Metzias from. There's an Ezra that speaks about it. Ezra says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu knowing everything that will be. He says the lashon that his yediya is like the yediya of the koil that understands a chelik of itself. In other words, a gedder b'chal masayim mana, that in every masayim the mana is included. Since the whole world is a branch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzias, bal karchach, everything is included in it. I want to add a point that he doesn't say so much, but it's Rambam, it says other places, and he uses a word that's very important to define in understanding our basic definition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He speaks later on a little bit more about Riches, about Matzu Shalom Chol Minei Shleimus, Mei Mechusar and Klal. I want to address a Nekuda that he doesn't say it here, he says it in other places with the following lashon. They speak about Metzias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being a Metzias Muchrachas. And I want to explain what it is. It's something we can talk about, we can define it, we cannot understand it, obviously. Let's give a mashal. If I walk into a room, or I Skype into a room, and I see nobody in the room, nobody, nothing, it's empty. So is there a shaila, why is it empty? I guess giving a shaila is not a reason for it to be empty. So, but is there a shaila? The answer is no. It's empty. If I see people, map, chairs, whatever it is over here, that's a question. Why are they there? And the answer is, so-and-so put a map there, so-and-so brought chairs in, so-and-so came in and sat down. So in this world, Metzias needs a reason. Nothing in this world, if I were to ask Rabbi Ingvild, tell me, how come there's a map there and chairs? But see, that's the teva. The teva of this place is that it's part of its metzias. That's nuts. There's nothing like that. The teva is nothing, and everything that I see in the world has a siba. The innermost logical structure of the world is siba umasayvid, a cause and effect. If that's true, then we have a real problem of where did everything come from. How do we get started? If everything is, it needs a cause to come into being, then what was the first cause? And we'll think from day till tomorrow. There is no answer to it. The answer is as follows: that our mind is it thinks in a certain way. That's our hardwire. And the hardwiring in our mind is a real reflection of what's true in our Metzias. There is nothing if in this world that comes from nowhere, but it's not the truth in the bigger picture. In the bigger picture, there's a Metzias Yisbarach, where his existence is the default, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not around, I ask myself, Kele Kele Lama Zavtoni. Can I picture that? I can't picture that, because that's my hardwire. Let's give a mashal. Imagine a kid has a calculator. I don't know if they still have calculators, but there was before a little pocket calculator. Let's say it's not a great calculator, and the most it does is adds up to 1,000. It's kind of a small. So this kid is figuring out, basically, David stuck a project, and he raised $1,300, and he gets $1,000, skatenished. Then the machine's stuck. So the kid says, okay, there's no more than $1,000. $1,000 is the maximum you can raise. So I tell him, no. $1,000 is the maximum that the computer can calculate. And the computer's not gonna be worth anything. So the kid asks me, so what do I do? So I say, okay, take the $1,000, make a bundle out of it. Put it in your drawer. Start again. And then, just like you had 1,000, the computer went up another 1,000, and so on. I can't picture with my mind, and I'm talking not only picture, I can't dare in any way possible that there's something, a metzias, that doesn't have a Siba that exists. But the reason is because my mind is part of that reality, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardwired my mind to understand everything that's in the universe. That's my gvul. I'm part of this circle. But I can recognize that can't be the emes in the big picture, because that's an emes that can't sustain itself. If that would be the emes in everywhere, then we have the kasha of where we're from. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzios muchachas. It means his mitzios is a given. You cannot define HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no matzev of non-existence by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by us there's no real matzev of inherent existence. There's a matzev of endowed existence. It answers the question of where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu come from. It tells us that that's a question that we're not equipped for. It's not a question we don't know. Our mind is like trying to type Chinese letters with an English keyboard. It doesn't have that ability. So what the emes we can say is that there is no Siva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The nafkemina lemaisa is there is nothing we can do or say in any way that we can take him out of the picture. No matter how much chet we do, chas v'sholom, no how much bad, no how much not, korbanos don't give him anything, and hatorim don't take away anything, he doesn't need us. We're the puppet, so he doesn't need advice from us. He has created a world where we interact, and we definitely have a sense of interaction. But a libet emes, it doesn't exist. That's a core definition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not we're not allowed to ask the question where to come from. It's not that we don't know. It's a non-operative question. It's like a kid will ask me, Tati, how much is 4 divided by 2? 2. Ah, you're good. And how much is 4 divided by 1? 4. Okay. And how much is 4 divided by 0? The answer is arithmetic. The system of arithmetic does not allow for the division of 4 by 0. It's not I don't know the answer, and the answer is not infinite, because an infinite amount of 0 is still 0. The answer is math. Arithmetic is a system. It allows for many operations. It does not allow for division, and that's it. It's not a kli for that.
So are you saying that in concept means that emunah, this disbelief is what we call umba faith, because at the end of the day, if the limits of our logic can't ever determine that, and the only way that we can accept that is only by what we call the leap of faith, which is that we believe that.
But logical,
we can never determine that. Isn't that what the Rambam said about Aristotle?
Let's put it this way. I can know things without deharing them. In other words, I know that the fact is true because it's the only way the piece makes sense, even though I can't picture it in any way. I can't dehear it, is the best way to say it. I can't sense it, but I can know it because manavshach. It's logic can deduce things. Let's give a mashal. The famous Agatha Christie story, ten little Indians, I don't know how many, where you had 10 people that could have committed some sort of crime, and one got so if there are 10 people in one place and you eliminate 9 of them as being able to have committed the crime, I know the 10th one did it by deducing it, even though I don't have direct evidence. It's like in math, you can prove numbers, you can prove certain things by deducing it. For instance, sometimes I can solve an equation for X. Sometimes what I do is I say, imagine the answer is not. Imagine that there is an answer to this equation, and that is this X. I will show you that it leads to an absurdity. So, bar kochoch, there is no such number. Because if I want to prove if a certain number is divisible by something, I can say, let's assume, for argument's sake, that X is the number that's divisible by that. Well, in that case, this will follow, this will follow, this will follow. It's impossible. So, bar kochoch, there's no such number. So I can pretty much make a strong argument and say that since the Bria exists, and since everything that exists needs a Sibah, as far as my mind is concerned, that leads to an impossibility. If everything needs a cause to become, so how did what was the first cause? Bal Korchach, there is a Sheirish that lies beyond the pale of my understanding. That's how I'm defining HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a Motzi Rishon. Here he calls it Motzi Echad, which is fascinating. He doesn't work that definition here. He does work it in other places, and the Rambam works with it. I'm not sure why he's coming with this, with the way he's coming, but Al Kapanim, it's very important to understand this Yisrael.
So that's not so hard to understand, the things that you deserve to understand. In this particular case, it's the presence of Hashem that is the proof of when we should look back.
It's our...
The fact that we exist is because of Hashem created us.
It's the fact that there is existence in the world, that everything exists, means that somewhere there's a Sheirish, that existence is innate to it. And since we know that existence is not innate to us, we come and we go and we're gone, and in our world, everything needs a Siba, so there must be a Sheirish that exists because it exists, and we exist because we got existence from that. Those are the two arguments that follow very strongly so from that Sheirish. Okay, so he says, so Adoyim kol anim tzois, so he's a shehim tziyom be'ez sherotza, u'mekaimim kol azman sheyirtza. Let's stop on this word rotza. This word rotza over here is very, 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 very loaded. Why is he using the word be'ez sherotza? I mean, well, obviously, Shehim Tzimun Beisirotzum Karim Kosman Sheyirtze. I mean, I'd like to try and. He means a lot here. Why is it supposed to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists and we exist and he gives us existence for as long as he gives us existence?
Why does I have a problem. We're not hearing you so well.
Okay. Is better now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard some Rashi before. I'm not sure why. Why does he say the Be'ez Sherotza? Shem Tzim Be'ez Sherotza Mikayim Kozman Sheyirtze. Dal Mihoch Devot Rotza. I go call him Tzoyis. Shehim Tziyom U'mekaimom. Zeo. The word Be'ez Sherotza V'Kozman Sheyirtze, it's a very, very loaded term. What do we mean by Rotzen? What are we trying to define by Rotzen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When we say that Mitzim Be'ez Sherotzen Mekayim Kozman Sheyirtze. So let's identify two nekudas that he wants to do with it. And the word Rotzen, he's drawing it in Kabbalah. It has very clear meanings about certain bechinas in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But let's define it. This is a sefer that's meant to be understood the way it is. Let's define it, the word Ratzon here. I just want to add, parenthetically, not only is the word rotzen extra, but it's a little bit of a turnoff, so to speak. The word, if I ask somebody, why does he keep up, why does this person have face a truck by the house? So say, well, he needs it for this, and he's going to use it for that, and so on and so forth. And he has a cheshbon this way, a cheshbon that way. That's the way a bar das does. If I ask you about somebody, why does he have a truck? He says, I don't know, just woke up morning, he says, I feel like having a truck parked in front of my house. You know, so if he's an ultra bach, at least as an excuse that he's allowed a certain amount of mishagasin, the terrorist ultra bach, you can decide he wants a truck and this and that. But if the answer is not just to be deicha me, I don't know, I woke up this morning and said, you know what? I think it'd be cute if I have a big pickup truck, big red pickup truck. And, you know, let's see how long it'll take for all Lakewood to not have a big red pickup truck in front of my house. So it's just a little bit of a meshugana. A person that we say, because he wanted to, basically we're saying it has no seichel, it has no, it's not going anyplace. No, it's something close, they want it. So why is it, why use that word? Shem tzion be'e she'yitze, she'rotze u'mekayim kozman she'yitze. You know, he made it when he felt like it, and he's going to hold on to it as long as he feels like it. It sounds to us as if rotzen is a much, much lower version than chachma. He uses many times chachma, says baruch, and so on. So the word rotzen over here has at least two meanings that he's trying to impart with it. One is inochinami. Rotzen is the shorish of everything a person does, even if it cannot be translated in mehalchei chachma. Chachma is already, for instance, let's take, and this is the way in which Chachma's Akadim sees a person's meisim. Let's say I very much like, I like a nice house. So everything starts with my liking and therefore wanting a nice house. Now I say to myself, how do I go about doing it? Where do I get finances? Which construction company? Who should design it? Where should I place it? The chachma part of it, is it kedai to have it? Can I get a mortgage? Can I this? Can I that? Those are all secondary cheshbonis to the rotzen. The rotzen is not bound. The question of why doesn't apply to rotzen. So, and the we don't have an. The same way that HaKadosh Baruch was Yesh Me'ayin, the reason why I created the world, Klap HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no answer, also. So all those inyanim when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being native, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanting L'chvoidei, that's already the next step. Those are the things that he has planned for us. They don't really relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's why he did it. I have no answer, because if I could answer that, then Chas V'Shalom, I'd be magbil HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I would give a clear reason, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bound by it. We need to say that the highest point is Ritzoin Yisbarach. That's it. That point, from that point onwards, we talk about it. What does he want out of us, this, this, and this? But why he wanted, why he's doing it, Ritzoni. Ritzoni is sort of klape us, the dead end of, is this a Nachsur HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have Nachsur? Why not Nachsur? It's the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence is not, it's not contemplatable by us, so too this is not contemplatable by us. That's the Ritzoinik. There's no question as to why he created the world. Once he created the world, now the question is, within this world, what is Mekayim? What's Mechazik the Ratzin, and so on. the also the difference between when let's go through let's take an analogy. If I make something with my hands, it gets an existence. Since my hands are a lower form of myself, I made something and I don't want it, so I take it and I smash it. It takes a second to take it and smash it. Let's say I'm sitting, so I built this Gewaldica house that's awesome. I decide, I don't like this. So I take a wrecker and I wreck it. So it takes a moment. It takes time because I'm undoing something that was done. Let's say I'm sitting and fantasizing about the house. I'm sitting back and I'm fantasizing about this Gewaldica house. And I don't like it. How long does it take me to destroy that house? The answer is the other way around. The minute I don't want it, it's not there, because the whole house is a projection of my rotzen. It's a projection of my fantasy. So I just not want it. I once read, I had a long time ago, that there was, I read it in some sort of Chabad publication, so obviously, but it passed. There was once two Chassidei Shabbach, and one of them went up to Chabad and learned there, and he came back, the other one says, tell me something that they taught you there that you didn't learn at any other place. Tell me something. So he said, let me ask you a riddle. Lo Yetzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the world utterly. How would he do it? So he said, Amabel. He said, it's not true. Amabel leaves over sediment. There's what's left over. Okay, a fire. He says, also not true. A fire leaves over some smoke, ash, there's afer, there's something. So he said, okay, I give up. What? How? So he said he would just not want it. In other words, when you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying the world, you assume that it's done, that it's built, that it's a pa'ula. Its whole existence is rotzen. So it's not the pshat HaKadosh Baruch Hu can undo it, destroy it, do anything. We exist only because there's a rotzen. Our very shorish of being stels to the most shorish tik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anhagas, and that's rotzen. So rotzen indicates two points here. First of all, that our understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted out of this is limited. Yes? I'm sorry, somebody else? Is limited. Secondly, the it's not a pa'ula that something was done. In the very shirish of our existence is Ritzon Yisbara, and not Ratzon. We don't have a reason why we continue to exist tomorrow. Not all that different from Nefesh HaChayim's famous mashal and so on, but I think very much in the word Ratzon, you get this feeling. Then he says, "V'sholet b'mshlita gemura." That already is dealing with the second basic emuna. The first one is havaya. That's defining yukei vavkei, and the second one is alikeinu. V'sholet gemura means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in total control of the world, and his ability to affect everything is absolute. And that's the connected the toes that they made, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not, the Greek said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not defile himself by being Osik B'tachtonim. That doesn't exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a total shalit. But so that's the name of Lekim, Rakel Yisbarash Mai. So the Ramchal is defining the two important Nyanim. It's still only the first paragraph. He has a paragraph afterwards. That his paragraphs afterwards is that everything is a that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a motzi echad, and he's defining HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the echad of the world, which means nothing existed other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because something else exists be'etzem. We have more than echad, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also shalit on everything, and he's befoil megal himself in the world. It's not only as a shirish for existence, but actually befoil. Okay, any questions?
Okay, to me, Stechazor, what we're talking about with the slip of faith, because it very much comes up in Piro, that I want to clarify, we're saying that there's a 100%, 1 million percent definitive, logical, beyond any mamashis of a doubt that we can explain to any person this very item. It's just that it's not mamashis because we can't feel it. Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
I always thought that there is, if I was asked, can you prove to me that there's a Rebbeinu Shel Olam a certain level that
it can't. So I'll tell you, the word is very loaded. Now, let me explain to you why. Because let's give a marshal. Imagine you walk by and you see somebody a shot, and somebody will ask you, you know, are you absolutely certain that someone shot him? Or, and someone else will ask you, are you absolutely certain that a criminal shot him? So the first one, the answer is yes. The second one, the answer is you pasted two things together, that someone shot him and that he was a criminal. Maybe it was self-defense, maybe it was an accident, maybe it was the guy himself, who knows what. The reason why it's sometimes not right is by you, Akadosh Baruch Hu is a package deal. It's the one who created the worlds. It's the one who gave us the Torah. It's the one who gave us Tzivuyim. It's the one who promised Charan Ba'inish. It's the one who was followed to. We have a whole package. So I can't prove, certainly not from this, the whole package, but that the answer of the world, of the Metzias of the world, lies beyond Seichel. That's Hechreach. That there must be something that doesn't fit into not the laws of nature, but to the most essential understanding of logic that we have, something that defies. And the truth is, I have an interest. I don't do it for curiosity, but I mean, I was listening to a series of lectures on quantum physics, and the professor was explaining that there are certain particles that appear from nowhere and disappear immediately. We have a Yesod Gadol of conservation of energy matter. Nothing can, there's no yesh ma'ayim. So he said, since it's a very brief interval of time and it goes le'umas keshabah, it's not defying that law. This is what I heard. That's like, in, you know, I'm talking about mainstream lecture. I'm talking about a professor. I said to myself, yes, so maybe the guy who made the laws about conservation energy left a little bit of a loophole, like a tax loophole for this guy, but it doesn't. If it's true like that, my seichel, this is something outside my seichel. My seichel doesn't bite into it. I don't have a circuit that adds numbers and comes out with a minus number. It doesn't work like that. I can't add positive amounts and ever in my mind and come up with a negative. If it happens, I'll say, well, this does not fit any human mind. So that means human mind is limited in its ability to be taifis the real emes of the world. What I think I definitively proved is in stretching human mind to its limit doesn't have room to include the entire metzius of the world. And that is something, so now we already have a gvul on ourselves. Science never recognizes a gvul on itself. We have a gvul because we recognize that metzius is much bigger than what could fit into seichel enosh. That's what I want to try. Now, the person could rightly tell you, great, so you proved me there's such a thing. But everything else other than that, mechateise, in which case most people are quite happy to have a god sitting somewhere out there creating things and letting them, you know, leaving them alone. And not, you know, that's...
So we're proving that there's something that's beyond us.
Yes.
Exactly what that is, that we...
Right, but beyond us the most fundamental way.
I say that you have to be much more of a mammon, be able to believe in science and answering up every single thing in logic than to believing that there's a Rebbeinu Shel Olam beyond us. Much easier to believe that. Because the scientist has to constantly
that's even true what you're saying even in the world. But this is an akuda that science rests on the axiom that seichel, the basic laws of seichel, are makif the entire world. And if I say something that makes no sense here, it makes no sense anywhere, and that's emes. And I don't have a reason not that until I see that that can't be the total emes. So that's, I think, an akuda vadois. And now, things with insight, I mean, you know, he's pointing out they're more logical, less logical, but this nekuda about the Sheirish, somebody was once in Eish HaTorah with I think that a non-Jewish partner, some, I don't remember, it was a long, long time ago, and they were listening to something about the codes or whatever it was, and, you know, the guy says, must be, like, only a construct. The guy said, no, it could have been aliens from a far-off civilization. You know, it's like the Klotz Cup, you know. The question here is not, so let's go back to alien. Does the alien fit this or does it not fit this? You know, what are we talking about? You know, an alien, because you watch on TV, so aliens can do things you don't do. The management of Sinai. We're talking about a very fundamental issue, that the world rests on an akuda of existence that exists be'etzem. And we know that anything within the perimeter of our das needs a siba. So bal karchach, we're a teitzav of that. That's okay.
Just one quick question. Somebody showed me, I don't know if you ever saw that the new Emunah B'Tochen from the Chazanish.
They put out.
It's in English. In English.
I didn't see it. No.
They added a parak in the back.
Yeah.
So
from the Chazanish?
From the Chazanish. I don't know. They say it's from the Chazanish. I don't know if it is or not. But it's called Faith and Trust. No, I mean, I think it's called Faith and Trust.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's hear.
So he writes over there in the back. He addresses this question about logic and beyond logic.
Yeah.
And he says, we all agree that there are concepts that are beyond logic, like the whole idea, meaning there's things that we see in the physical world or emanations of the physical world that we can somehow connect to logic. But we all agree that Sichlius, like 2 + 2 = 4, does not have any connection to this universe. It's something that's beyond this universe. That concept, it's a concept. It's not a physical thing. It's a concept.
I'd like to see that. That's interesting. It's in the new. Do they have it in Hebrew also? Do they have the Hebrew on the side?
I think it's in Hebrew. I think it's also in English. But it's a book. I mean, it's really in English. But it has the back. It's like two extra chapters in the back.
Yeah.
One point is this point. The second point is basically, he basically wipes the floor with the Bali Musar and the Chassidim,
yes.
that basically that if they go with their whole line of thinking, most of them out, of course. That's pretty much what he said over there.
There was a reason why he left out those
parts.
Yeah.
That was the second part.
What?
That was the second part. I think the first part, it could be questions of
interesting.
That level of talking he didn't want to discuss. I don't know.
But the second part, it's left out. He deliberately labels his chapters to indicate they're left out chapters. And he writes also, he writes, and it, back and forth, he writes in English also, I'm making a point about the Bala Musa and Atayna. I recognize what they've given for Klal Yisrael and the need for them. But basically he's saying, I'm a Bar Plukta, but I hold them in high esteem. Because, and he says, like, he says, I feel the success that they've had with Young Dor. The Chazon Ish himself tried to reach out to all sorts of people that he didn't succeed in getting them to be Chayzer L'Toyv, to stay Toyv. And he says, I recognize the ability of Ali Musa to do that with the young people, and I grant it to them. I want to point out issues, and, you know, that's out of respect, we could argue. That's I don't want to tell you that my shver was married to a niece of the Chazon Ish, to Greiderman, my shver is a Greiderman, and he was very close to the Chazon Ish. And so my brother liked to, you know, get all the stories and the hack and his that. So he asked my shver once, is it true that the Chazon Ish didn't hold the Reb Isaac Sher's derech in Agarut, in the Musa. All the famous stories about Esav HaTzadik, this and that. Rabbi Isaac Sher was my Shver's uncle. He married his father's sister. Rabbi Isaac Sher was Aida Mariata Slabotka. So my Shver did not like, I didn't like naive people, simpletons, whatever it is. So he said yes. He said, and also Rabbi Isaac didn't hold too much of the Chazanish's Derech. Like, he said, you know,
feeling is mutual.
So what? Rabbi Isaac was a very big person, and he felt, and then my Shver demonstrated, it's very fascinating, I never heard my Shver so articulate. He said, he imitated Rabbi Isaac Sher as a Shmuz. He said, Hoga was a Rosh Hashiva, was a big Rosh Hashiva. So my brother left us, so he told my brother, okay, so let's picture it the way it says. It says in Chazal that Hagar was Rogilur's Malachim. It says she didn't get fazed by seeing the Malachim because she was Rogilur's. So she said, so she's this Arab lady doing sponger, and in comes the phone. Chacha says, phone call, do a favor, stand on the side, the floor's wet. Don't come until the floor's dry. He said, what does it mean? If she's Rogilur's Malachim, so you picture her as. So somewhere along the line, we have to figure out what it was. It's not so pushed. If we're to take what Chazal write about the Madrega and believe in the Chazal, then we need to have a different picture of it. But Rabbi Sher wanted to try to show him there's two sides to it. And the Chazish also, Chazish had tremendous positive siachsus because he understood the scrunch almost. And he has his tightness, and, you know, and...
I just saw a letter to Shabbos from writing to it's a guy with Baal Mosuk, and it basically he wiped the floors with him. I mean, he said, like, you know, it's not becoming for you to act. The guy who has a rally like this, then it's like that, it's not, you know, it's not befitting of you to act in such a way, and, you know, it's not the Mosuk way, and he was giving him Mosuk.
Okay, good. Say that good and take care. Bye. Let me close this.